Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in God's Word in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10 in the New Testament. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Father, we thank you once again for the weapon of your word. Thank you for the ways your word is a spiritual weapon whereby, as we learn to more skillfully use it and put it to work, more and more we can walk in victory in our lives. Empower us to be the wise and well-equipped spiritual warriors you've called us to be. And help us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. And help us to grow in our understanding of how to put weapons like the powerful weapon of Psalm 91 to work in our lives each and every day. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Yesterday, we started to listen to the first portion of a message by author and powerful Bible teacher Peggy Joyce Ruth as she shares about truths and insights found in Psalm 91. Today, we'll be picking up with part two of that same message and hope that as you listen, that you too will grow in your understanding of why it's so wise to pray Psalm 91 every single day over yourself and over your family. So we pick up today with part two of a message by Peggy Joyce Ruth on Psalm 91.
Jack and I live out in the country, and one spring, our old mother hen had this brood of baby chickens. And one afternoon, the chickens were spread all over the yard, and they were just having the time of their life. They were scratching, and all of a sudden, we saw the shadow of a hawk overhead. And then I noticed something very unique that taught me a lesson that I don't think I will ever forget. That old mother hen did not run to all of those baby chickens and cover them with her wings. She didn't do that. Instead, she squatted down, she spread out her wings, and she began to cluck. And then all of those little chickens from every direction came running to her and got under those outstretched wings. And when they were all under there, she pulled those wings down tight over those baby chickens, and she tucked them safely under her. Now, to get to those baby chickens, the hawk would have had to have gone through the mother. Now, when I think of those baby chickens running to their mother, I realize that it's under his wings now that we may seek refuge, but we have to run to him. He's not going to run here, there, and yonder trying to gather us all up. He's made these promises available, and he says, you run to me. And when we do run to him in faith, then the enemy literally would have to go through God to get to us. When you think about that, you just think, oh, Lord, what a comforting thought. What a blessing. Okay, look at the last part of verse 4. It says, and his faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. Okay, I love to realize that it's God's faithfulness to his promises that's going to be my shield. See, it's not just my faithfulness. My faithfulness gets weak a lot of times, but it's God's faithfulness to his promises. A few weeks ago, all the little boy cousins were chasing our little granddaughter, Merritt. She's 5. And suddenly, boy, she just came running to me, and she just ran into me headlong and full force. And she threw her little arms around me, and she was hollering, don't let them get me, you know. Well, that brought back memories because I could remember so many times doing exactly the same thing when I was a child. and I would run to one of my parents and then wrap their arms around me until I felt completely shielded from whoever was chasing me or whatever was happening. Okay, do you realize that that's exactly what God wants us to do? It's exactly what He wants us to do. He wants us to run full force into His arms, because when we do, then He becomes a literal shield around us that protects us from the harm that's in the world. Then, when we've run to Him and He's put His arms around us and we're shielded in Him, then when the enemy comes and starts whispering all these little fearful thoughts in your mind, and you all of a sudden have your emotions upset, all of a sudden, all that's going to be able to calm down, because you're going to be able to ward off that attack by saying, "My faith is strong because I know that my God is faithful." And it's His faithfulness that's my shield against the enemy. Now, the next two verses, you really need to mark this, verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 and 6 contains an extraordinary promise, one of the most powerful promises in the Bible. These two verses cover every evil known to man. You need to write that out in the margin of your Bible, because every evil known to man is included in these two verses. Now, it's divided in four categories. And we're going to take these four categories and look at them one at a time. But in the first part of verse 5, he says, "You will not be afraid of the terror by night." Okay, this first category, terror by night now, this includes all of the evils that come through man. Everything that you might be afraid of that man could do to you. That includes the kidnapping and the robbery and murder and rape and terrorism and wars. All of the evils that come through man. When you realize that God is saying you're not going to have to be afraid of anything, any of these things, because they're not going to approach you. Do you realize how many times Jesus told us not to be afraid? Why do you think that He continually told us not to be afraid? Because, see, it's through faith in His Word that we're protected. And since fear and faith are opposites then, the Lord knows that fear is going to keep us from operating now in the faith that's necessary to receive the promise. Now, no wonder God does not want us to be afraid. No wonder He's telling us, don't be afraid of the terror by night, because He knows that fear is going to keep us out of faith. Now, in the Old Testament, they didn't have nearly as good a covenant as we have. And yet, when the Israelites put blood, the blood of animals, on their door facings, the enemy couldn't come through, couldn't pass through the bloodline. Okay, that's just a type and shadow of our covenant. Our covenant's so much better than that. And so when we confess now out loud that we're covered by the blood of Jesus, and when we believe that, the devil literally can't come in. Now remember, verse 2 tells us, "I will say the Lord is my refuge. I will say the Lord is my fortress." It's always going to be heart and mouth. You need to write heart and mouth out in the margin, because it's when we believe with our heart and we confess with our mouth. You know, when you have a physical weapon, the way you use and operate your physical weapons is with your hand. You don't operate a physical weapon with your foot or with your ear. You know, you operate it with your hand. The way you always operate your spiritual weapon is with your mouth. What we say it. The blood is applied by saying it in faith. Remember, it's always heart and mouth. Now, never before in our history has there been so much talk about terrorism and germ warfare. I mean, we're hearing it every time you turn on the TV. But do you realize that God is not shocked? And He's not caught off guard by all these things that are happening in the world. God is bigger than chemical warfare. And we need to stop and realize that. Long before man had even discovered biological weapons, God had made provision for the protection of His children if they would just believe His word. Now make a notation in the margin of Mark 16, 17, and 18. Because He said, if you drink any deadly poison, it's not going to hurt you. And that word drink is from the Greek, simply means to imbibe, and it means to drink, to absorb, to inhale. Well, chemical warfare, when it comes, you know, you inhale it, you absorb it. Okay, He said, you know, you don't have to be afraid of these, because if you drink any deadly poison, it's not going to hurt you. No evil has been conceived by man against which God has not provided a promise of protection. I mean, that should make us jump up and shout when we hear that. He has a protection for His children who will choose to believe it and to act on it. And I think, you know, how good God is. He is so good. He knew what we had need of, and He made provision for it before we ever even ask. Now, if we find ourselves being afraid of the terror by night, then that needs to just be a barometer that lets us know that we're not dwelling in the shelter of the Most High as closely as we need to. See, fear comes from two things here. Number one, it comes when we start confessing things that don't line up with what God said. Anytime you're confessing something other than this word, fear's going to come in. And number two, anytime we get our eyes off of God and get our eyes onto the circumstances, fear's going to come in. But let that fear just be a reminder to stop and repent and get back into that place of saying out loud in faith all these promises of God. Because you're going to find yourself over there in fear every once in a while, but pull yourself back. Let it be a reminder. Now, it's not that we deny the existence of the attack. I mean, these attacks are real. Not for one minute am I saying that we're denying these attacks from the enemy. They're very, very real. But God is just wanting our faith in His Word to become more of a reality than what we're seeing out there in the natural. You know, gravity's a fact. No one denies the existence of gravity. But just as the law of aerodynamics now can overcome or supersede the law of gravity, we need to realize that Satan's attacks can also be superseded by a higher law, the law of faith and obedience in God's Word. Okay, the last part of verse 5 says, you will not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. So the second category of evil is the arrow. Now, an arrow is something that pierces or wounds physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. That arrow is sent to destroy you. When somebody shoots an arrow, they're shooting an arrow to try to destroy you. And these arrows are deliberately sent by the enemy, and they're aimed meticulously at the spot that will cause the most damage. And they're not shot off at random either. These arrows are targeted at the area in which you've not yet had your mind totally renewed to the Word of God. Now, that target could be circumstances aimed at an area where maybe we're still losing our temper, or maybe an area where we're still easily offended, or maybe it's an area where we're still in rebellion or we're in fear. Very seldom is the enemy going to attack you in an area where you're strong, where you've built yourself up in the faith. He's going to attack us where we're still struggling. And that's why we have to run to God. Okay, the first part of verse 6, you'll not be afraid of the pestilence that stalks in darkness. Now, the third category of evil that God names is pestilence. Okay, this is the only one that God names twice. Well, God knew the pestilence and the fear that was going to be running rampant in the end days. He knew that. And so He got our attention by repeating that promise. It's as though God were saying, well, I said it in verse 3, but just in case you didn't hear me, I'm going to repeat it again in verse 6. You do not have to be afraid of the deadly pestilence. He's wanting us to hear this. Now, this is so contrary to the world's thinking. We have to renew our mind. We have to renew our thinking to be able to comprehend this fact, that we don't have to be afraid of the sicknesses and the diseases that are epidemic in our world today. I mean, they're constantly coming out with new sicknesses and new diseases. Now, our inheritance is not limited to what's been handed down to us genetically from our ancestors. That is not our inheritance. Our inheritance can be what Christ Jesus bought for us on the cross if we'll reach out and receive that, if we'll believe it. Now, in Deuteronomy 28, verse 67, it tells us that every sickness and disease, and even the ones not listed in the book, are part of the curse. But praise God, we've got Galatians 3:13 that tells us Christ redeemed us from the curse. He's redeemed us from every pestilence if we'll just believe and start appropriating this promise.
You've been listening to part two of a recorded message by author and Bible teacher Peggy Joyce Ruth as she's sharing about truths and insights about the powerful weapon of Psalm 91. Let me say, too, if you're wanting to get more information about Peggy Joyce Ruth Ministries and their organization and their ministry, their website is peggyjoyceruth.org. If you'd like to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer from us, simply email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send you a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer. We'll be right back as we continue with a message by Peggy Joyce Ruth.
Amazing. praise how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved.
The music of Chris Tomlin, Amazing Grace. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're listening to a message by author and Bible teacher Peggy Joyce Ruth as she's sharing about powerful truths found in Psalm 91. And we'll pick up with a message on this side.
Now, Renee, she gave her testimony, and I get excited every time I hear that testimony because she was diagnosed right before Christmas several years ago with lupus. I've never seen anyone grab hold of Psalm 91, and I mean, you talk about sinking her teeth in it. She wasn't about to turn it loose. And she declared that lupus was absolutely not going to remain in her body. And her kidneys and her liver began to shut down. And for a while, she was just getting one bad report after another. Every time she called, I would brace myself because she had gotten another bad report. And you know what? Most of us would have given in at that point. Most of us would have said, well, I don't know why it didn't work. That's just the way it is. And too many times we're ready to give in too fast. When they told her that she wouldn't live to see another Christmas, well, that's when she called me and she said, I will live to see another Christmas. And Psalm 91 is what I'm hanging on to. And gradually, things began to change. She's seen three Christmases since then. And her kidneys, as they started to function, the kidney specialist called it a miracle. And the blood specialist, I think it was three different times, said, this is miraculous. And then the third doctor, after studying the test results, she came in and said, I see no lupus working in your body. That is the power of Psalm 91. But we've got to realize there's a point between point A and point B where it's very easy to give up and give in to the world. And when it's the hardest to stand is when we have to determine in our heart, Lord, I am not turning this loose. This is a promise that you've made to me. And Psalm 91 is truth, and I'm going to walk in it. And that's what she did, and she saw the results of it. Okay, the last part of verse 6 says, you'll not be afraid of the destruction that lays waste at noon. This is the fourth category of evil. It's destruction. Now, destruction takes in all of the evil over which man has no control. The things that the world ignorantly call acts of God, the tornadoes and the floods and the fire and car wrecks and this type thing. Now, these things are not coming from God. We do not have to fear them. We are protected from them when we stay in the shelter of the Most High. Now, some people say, well, how do you know God doesn't send these natural disasters? Well, in Mark 4, verse 39, Jesus rebuked the storm, and it became perfectly calm. He was demonstrating right there that God is not the author of such things. Otherwise, Jesus would never have contradicted something that his Father had sent. So we don't have to be afraid of the destruction. Now, did you know that every extreme evil known to man is going to fall under one of these four categories? All the things that can take our life, it falls in one of these four categories. The terror by night, things that come through man, the arrows, the assignments of the enemy, the pestilence, the sicknesses and diseases, and the destruction, the things over which man has no control. Every extreme evil is going to fall in one of those four categories. And the amazing thing is that God has offered us deliverance from them all. This is the time you need to be shouting. That's a good place to shout, you know, for what God's done. Now, it's hard to even imagine, but God knew about these dangers, and he provided safety from them before we even knew we had a need. He had already made a provision before we knew about it. Well, what about the fact that the majority of people out there don't believe it? By far, the majority of people will not believe these promises in Psalm 91. Well, he addresses that in Romans 3:3, when Paul says, if some do not believe, will their unbelief nullify the faithfulness of God? And then he says, may it never be. He said, God's going to be found true, even though every other man is found to be a liar. And then God goes on to say in verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. Listen, this is literal. When we hear all the negative reports and we see all the needs around us, boy, sometimes it can feel so overwhelming. And that's why he's saying, hey, I'm telling you, 1,000 is going to fall at your side. 10,000 at your right hand. You might as well expect it. It's going to happen. But he says, now I'm giving you a choice. He said, now you can run to my shelter in faith and it will not approach you. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not approach you. We do not have to be one of the 10,000 that falls if our mind is renewed to the Word of God. See, we can receive anything that God has already provided. Anything God's provided, you can receive. Now, the secret is knowing that everything for which God has made provision is clearly spelled out and defined in the Word of God. Listen, if you can find where God offered it, then you can have it. You need to remember that. If you can find in the Word where God offered it, then you can have it. He's provided it. Now, faith is not a tool to manipulate God into giving you something you want. Faith is simply the means by which we accept what God has already made provision for. Now, Psalm 91 is a preventive measure that God's given to His children against every evil known to mankind. Now, as you know, our church and the school and both radio stations, everything is located right on the banks of the bayou, and all of the water from Lake Brownwood comes right by our church in the bayou. And when we built the church a number of years ago, Brownwood had not had a flood in over 100 years. And we were told the government lakes that had been built would keep us from ever having a flood again. Well, several years ago, we had our second flash flood. And they evacuated the whole area, and we couldn't get to the church property, but houses and buildings much further away from the bayou than the church were all flooded. And we found out that the old Walmart building about two blocks away was flooded. And everybody said, well, the Walmart building's a lot higher than your church, so you've got a lot of water in church. And in the natural, it looked pretty bad, you know, and it was really hard to quote Psalm 91 when you were looking at circumstances that it was kind of frightening. The members of this church, I mean, they were quoting Psalm 91, they were believing and they were standing, they were determined that we were going to be protected. And sure enough, 3 days later when they let us through the roadblock, we came and there was not an ounce of water in the building. 1,000 is going to fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not approach you. Verses 8 and 9 says, you will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, for you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. So this verse 8 and 9 is saying, you know, you don't have to fear this because you've made the Lord your refuge. It's reiterating your part. And then verse 10 says, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. In other words, no evil, none of the categories of evil that we've just named. Nor will it come near your household. Now, God's just added a new dimension to the covenant. I love this part in verse 10. He's giving us the opportunity to exercise faith, not only just for ourselves, but also for the protection of our entire household. At the end of every one of these, we should be shouting. You know, when our hearts are trained to believe this covenant, then we're going to stop being constantly afraid that something bad's going to happen to one of our family members. That used to be my biggest fear, that something was going to happen to one of my family members. Negative expectations will begin to pass away, and we'll start expecting good reports. This promise has been in the Word forever, but every year that passes, God's bringing it more and more to the foreground because I believe that it has been reserved for these end times. You know, one weekend we were expecting Angela and David to come in from Irving. And they called and they said, well, we're going to be at least a day late. Well, when they did get here, Angela's head and face was so swollen that we couldn't even recognize her. I mean, it was unbelievable. David said, oh, she looks so much better than she did yesterday. Well, it had really concerned David because he had thought at first that it was lupus, and she looked bad. It was scary. But we had a covenant that said none of these things are going to come near your household. And I remember having to get out of the room and go into the bedroom, and I started saying, Lord, I cannot look at her and confess your word. I've got to get away where I can't even look at her. But Lord, you have promised me in verse 10 that no evil will befall me, nor will plague or calamity come near my household. And so we just kept confessing that. And gradually, little by little, that swelling started going down. At least it came to the place where we could see that she had eyes, you know. Well, we found out later that she had eaten a mango and it had been shipped in and it must have had some insecticide on it. you know. I mean, she had a horrible reaction. But, you know, praise God for Psalm 91. So many people have died from a lot less than that. No evil will befall you, nor will plague or calamity come near your dwelling. And I'm going to tell you what, that's more than just a comforting thought here. This can literally bring life and hope. Okay, verses 11 and 12, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. This is one of the most precious promises of God, and he's put it right here in Psalm 91 to tell us about the angels. Hebrews 1 verse 14, you can look it up later, but he says the angels are spirit beings, and they're sent by God to render aid to those who are going to inherit salvation. You know, my sister and I were going up Interstate 44, and we were headed to a ladies' seminar where I was going to be the speaker, and suddenly she just turned off the turnpike. And she said, I just knew that I saw an exit for Highway 44. And minutes after we turned off the turnpike, they had a horrible car pileup in the very lane in which we had been traveling. And we would have been right in the middle of that tragedy. See, he gives his angels charge concerning us. And angels do play a vital part now in God's plan of protection. And I truly believe those angels just pointed her right off the highway. Okay, verse 13 says, you'll tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you'll trample down. Okay, now Psalm 91 suddenly is going to take us from the subject of our being protected by God. And he begins to put emphasis on the authority that's been given to us as believers in the name of Jesus. And so you need to make a note of a corresponding New Testament scripture that deals with our authority. Because Luke 10 verse 19 says, behold, I've given you authority over all the powers of the enemy, and he'll not injure you. Okay, we've been given authority over the enemy. He doesn't have authority over us. Most people don't believe that. They think the enemy has authority over us, but that's not true. You know, Peter and John, they told the man at the gate, beautiful, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Okay, that authority has not been taken away. Our daughter had a friend living in Fort Worth, and she was getting ready for church several years ago, and someone knocked on the door. And when she opened the door, well, this armed guy pushed his way in, and he was coming in to molest her. And she started taking authority in Jesus' name. Well, in the natural, there was no way for a young girl to be able to stand against a strong man, and especially a man that was armed. But she was so confident in her authority that he finally just became immobile and she was able to escape unharmed. This word works. Our authority works. Wow. But we need to ask ourselves now, am I confident enough in my authority that I can boldly declare in the face of an attack, I am in covenant with the living God. I have a blood covering protection that protects me from all harm. So in the name of Jesus, put down that gun, or in the name of Jesus, leave me alone, or whatever. You know, are we that confident? See, if we don't have that kind of courage, then we need to meditate on these authority scriptures until we become confident in who we are in Christ Jesus. Many, many times I'll lie awake at night and I will let these authority scriptures go over in my mind, saying them, you know, just above my breath, because I want to keep this flowing in me to let me remember the authority that I have in Jesus. See, it's not good enough after we face the attack. We have to have prepared ourselves before any attacks to be able to use. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. If you're prepared, usually the enemy won't come against you. When you're prepared, usually you won't even have to use it. Now, at new birth, we immediately have enough power at our disposal to tread on the enemy without being harmed. But most Christians, they either don't know they have the authority or they just are not confident enough to use it. But you need to ask yourselves now, how often do I believe the word enough to act on it? Do I believe it enough to act on it? How many times do I act on it in a week? Now, in verses 14 now through 16, we're going to find that the psalm moves now from talking in third person about God's promises to God speaking to us personally now to declare promises to us in first person. Now, this is the voice of God, verses 14 through 16, speaking prophetically to each one of us. Now, in verse 14, you need to put your own name there. God says, because he, because Letha, because Luann, you know, put your own name there. Because he has loved me, therefore, I will deliver him or deliver her. Okay, now, in these three verses, 14, 15, and 16, he gives us seven promises. And we need to take special note of the fact that these seven promises are reserved for those who love him. He said, because he has loved me, therefore I will do thus and so. Okay, first of all, we need to ask ourselves, do I really love him? Be honest with yourself. You remember when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me, Peter? And can you imagine how Peter must have felt when he asked him the third time, Peter, do you love me? Even so, we need to question ourselves because these promises are made only to those who have genuinely set their love on God. And of course, the Bible says if we love him, we'll obey him. So our obedience now shows us if we love him or if it's just lip service. Okay, so do you love him? If you do, then these seven promises are for you. Now, a promise of deliverance is the first of the seven promises made to the one who loves God. Because he's loved me, therefore I will deliver him. Okay, now from what is God going to deliver us? Okay, he's going to deliver us from every evil that we've listed so far, every evil known to mankind. That's a tremendous promise. Now, there may be a little weight at times, but don't give up on the promises.
You're listening to a message by Peggy Joyce Ruth, author of Psalm 91, God's Shield of Protection. She's a Bible teacher and author. She's sharing about powerful truths and insights found in Psalm 91. We'll be right back after this break.
Thank you.
music of Kiri Jobe, the song Forever. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. It's a privilege to have you listening in, and we want to invite and encourage you to please pray daily for the ministry of the Hour of Intercession, as well as the ministry as a whole of the American Family Association. We very much desire your prayers. We're listening today to the final portion of a powerful message by author and gifted Bible teacher and speaker Peggy Joyce Ruth, as she's sharing about insights about using the wonderful and powerful weapon of Psalm 91. So we'll pick up with the message here.
You know, for over 2 years, I had something wrong with my left eye, and every night I would walk the floor with this excruciating pain. I'd gone to 2 optometrists and 3 ophthalmologists, and none of them could give me a real answer of what was going on. Now, they all suggested that it might be dry eye, but I couldn't imagine dry eye hurting that badly and only hurting at night. Now, it had come to the place where my eyes were blurred in the daytime, but every time that pain would come, as I'd walk the floor, I'd quote Psalm 91, and I kept quoting Psalm 91, and this went on for 2 years. But you know, one day, a friend of mine was listening to the TV, and she turned it on just in time to hear a doctor say, use flax oil, and it'll give you the omega oils that you need for your eye. Well, I was obedient to do that, and all of a sudden, I started seeing a turnaround, and gradually, my eye started turning around, and I don't have any problems with it. It's totally healed, and there's no damage. God delivered me. So God promises to deliver. So don't give up, and don't limit Him, because there may be a little waiting period, and there may be something that He tells you to do, but that promise is true. Verse 14 says, because He's loved me, I will set Him securely on high, because He's known my name. Okay, to be set securely on high is the second promise made to those who love God and who know Him by His covenant names. So we need to ask ourselves, do I know Him as my Jehovah Jireh, my provider? Do I know Him as my Jehovah Rapha? Do I know Him as my healer, the one that heals me? You know, no matter how serious the condition may be, do I know Him as my Jehovah Shalom, my peace, as my Nisi, my protection, as my Jehovah Moz, my strength? See, when we know Him intimately in these different covenants, represented in His different names, then we're not going to be pulled down by the problems. We're going to be seated with Christ Jesus, and all of these things will be under our feet. Okay, verse 15, it says, He will call upon me, and I will answer Him. Now, some people pray, and they never expect God to hear them, much less answer them. But God makes a third promise here, that He will answer those who truly love Him and who call upon His name. Do you believe that? Ask yourself, be honest, do you believe that? 1 year, Bill and Jack had gone to burn this brush off in the back of the pasture. When the fire got over this old gas well, they didn't know the gas well was there. Well, it just blew up. The flames went in every direction, and they were in really tall grass. And so the fire was instantly out of control. Now, they were fighting it with everything that they had, but we hadn't run water to the back of the pasture. And so Jack realized that the fire was so out of control that it could very easily either get to our house or to somebody else's house. So he flew up to the house to call the fire department, and he told me to go to the crossroad and get them back there as soon as they got there. And he dashed back to where Bill was. He said he knew that they were in bad trouble. Well, when he got back there, the fire was out. Bill was covered from head to foot in black soot, and he was sitting on a tree stump, just completely exhausted, and Jack couldn't believe it. And so he asked Bill, he said, how on earth did you put that fire out? And Bill said, I called on God. So that's what we have to do. As simple as that. God says, I'll answer those who love me and call on my name. Okay, verse 15, I will be with him in trouble, and I will rescue him. Have you ever been in trouble and needed to be rescued? Now, during that flood that I was telling you about, that second flood, Bill had a flock of goats on some land by the bayou. And some men had realized that those goats were going to be drowned. And so he had hoisted all those goats up into the loft of a barn that was nearby. Well, a couple of days later, the water was still so swift and so high that they wouldn't let anybody in. But Bill had been told about his goats. He knew where his goats were. And so he got this little tin-bottom boat, and he went across these swift floodwaters, and he went to that old barn that was way out there. They even had the TV cameras that came and took a picture of the little goat boy in his boat rescuing his goats. But he got those goats out of the loft, boatload by boatload, a few at the time, and took them back to safety. Well, another few hours and they would have died from thirst and suffocation. But you know, every time I think of Bill rescuing those goats that were in trouble, I think of how God sees us in our troubles and he finds a way to rescue us. Now, God's creative and he's not limited by our seemingly impossible situations. And sometimes we get ourselves in pretty impossible situations, but he's just wanting us to run to him and ask in faith. Now, the number five promise in the last part of verse 15 is, because he loves me, I will honor him. Now, it's something to be honored by God. Think about that. We love to be honored by man. Think about what it's like to be honored by God. He honors us by calling us his children. He honors us when we take his promises and we take them seriously. So start noticing the different ways that God honors you. In the first part of verse 16, he says, because he loves me with a long life, I will satisfy him. Okay, so this is the sixth promise. Now, God doesn't just say, I'm going to prolong your life and give you a lot of birthdays. He said, I'm going to satisfy you with a long life. Now, there are people who could testify that just having a lot of birthdays is not necessarily a blessing. But God's saying that he's going to give us many birthdays, and as those birthdays roll around, we're going to experience satisfaction. And then the last part of verse 16, he said, and I'll allow him to behold my salvation. Okay, to allow those who love him to behold his salvation is the seventh promise. And you need to write out in the margin, because behold means to take hold of. In other words, a lot of people are surprised when they look up the word salvation and they find out that it has a lot deeper meaning than just a ticket to heaven. Yeah. Salvation in the Hebrew and in the Greek means it takes in health, healing, deliverance, protection, and provision. And so when it says that he'll let us behold, take hold of his health, healing, deliverance, protection, and provision. And he's wanting us to reach out and take hold of him in all of these areas. Jeanette Renfro was awakened from a deep sleep one night, and she saw in a vision, she saw her son drowning. And she took hold of those promises there in Psalm 91, and she started taking authority. And finally then, in the vision, she saw him miraculously picked up out of the water, and she said he looked like a little drowned mouse in the vision when she saw him. But she knew at that point that the danger had passed, and so she said she made an entry in her journal, and she just went back to bed. Well, it was months later when the son came home, they started talking, and she told him about the night when she had interceded for him. And she found out that he had indeed had a drowning experience that had almost claimed his life. And when they looked it up in the journal, they found that it was the exact day that she prayed. It works. Intercession and using your authority, you need to write those two things down, because intercession and using your authority, that's another way of taking hold of the salvation that covenant provides. Now, it just seems like a dream to me now when I think way back there about that day when I asked God that pertinent question, is there any way to escape all the dangers that are coming on the earth? I think when I asked that question, I probably didn't really expect an answer. You know, I just was voicing my frustration. But when I asked that question, that seems like so long ago. But little did I know that he was going to give me a dream that not only was going to change my life, but was also going to change the lives of hundreds of other people who heard and believed. Now, my mind can't even comprehend of a God who loves us this much. I can't even comprehend of a God who would love us enough now to make this kind of covenant to protect his children from every evil known to man. But that's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. Father, we just want to say thank you. There's no other way, there's nothing else that we can say except just thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing this for us. Father, I thank you for this promise. I thank you that you gave me the privilege of writing a book to put this covenant in book form. I thank you, Father. We bless this book. And Father, I'm believing you that it's going to go out and it's going to bear much fruit. And we just ask by the power of your Holy Spirit that you'll take this book and that you'll send it into the places where it needs to be. And that you will cause it, Lord, to accomplish everything that you want to accomplish.
You've been listening to a message by Peggy Joyce Ruth, author and Bible teacher Peggy Joyce Ruth, as she shared about powerful insights and truths concerning Psalm 91. And one of our goals is to encourage you as a believer, for you and your family, to start praying Psalm 91 every single day over yourself and over your family as well. Remember, we live in a dangerous world, and the Bible lets us know that in the last days, perilous times would come. And there's so many dangers and perils in our world, perils, trials, and storms that people face. We think of pestilences, diseases. We think of the coronavirus and other things that have people so fearful today, and things that cause people to be on edge. Well, if you ask the question, is there any way to be protected from all these kinds of things? Well, remember this, no one can protect you like God can. And so Psalm 91 is a wonderful weapon, both for offense and defense in the kingdom of God, for we as believers to be able to take and use every single day. So my challenge, our challenge to you is, starting today, begin to pray the prayer of Psalm 91 every single day. To get a copy of that prayer, simply email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to email you a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer, as well as some others as well. But remember, we as believers are wise to put the weaponry God has made available to us to work. I would encourage, if you want more information about books and other information from Peggy Joyce Ruth, her website is peggyjoyceruth.org. You can go there to learn more about, or to get a copy of one or more of her books, or learn more about some of the outreaches she has as well. But we want every single believer to become a better equipped warrior for the warfare we all have to deal with each and every day. So once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. We can email you a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer. Please get it and use it for yourself and your family, and email it to all family members and friends, and anyone you want to share it with, please do that. We hope that you will. Thanks for listening. As always, it's a privilege to have you listening in. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.